Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
I'll believe it when I see it. That's basically what Thomas said when he heard that the disciples had seen the risen Lord. In John 20:29, Jesus says, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Today, we discuss believing in Jesus has nothing to do with anything we can see with our physical eyes. It's what we know in our hearts. So join in the conversation as we find out what it means to walk by faith and not sight. As we continue our conversation deeper into faith this week, Janie, I want to take us to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And really, much of our struggle and our distress comes from the conflict between these two principles, faith and sight.
Right. And sight really is centered on self, and it only wants to submit and understand things that are seen.
Well, I tell you, sight seems more real, Janie. Well, I can see it, I can feel it, I can touch it.
And yet the scriptures tell us that it's the things that are unseen that are more real than the things that are seen. And that's why we need faith. So how do we get to where the unseen is more real to us than the seen?
Well, it's a retraining of our perspective, isn't it?
It really is.
In renewing our minds in the scriptures.
Absolutely. And one thing that has really helped me over the course of time is something that a lot of people think is unnecessary, and that is praying specifically.
That's really hard to do, Janie. And without commanding God.
Well, and then go back to the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When people came to Jesus, did they not always have a specific request?
Yeah, and Jesus even asked for their specific request, even though he knew what they needed.
So I have learned, much to my enjoyment, as well as sometime amazement, as how I pray specifically, how specific God answers, right down to dotting the I's and crossing the T's. Wow. So that I just say sometimes, "Lord, I stand amazed. I didn't realize you would answer so specifically." But I stand in amazement of how much he wants us to see him now, even though we're not looking at his eyes face to face.
Right.
And so one of the greatest ways to pray specifically is, first of all, to know what you really need. Mm-hmm. But then you also need to know who you are in Christ by faith, so you can pray confidently in your specifics.
Okay.
So I go back to then 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now you were at 2 Corinthians 5:7.
Yes.
That says we walk by faith and not by sight. Uh-huh. And if you continue on with that narrative, then we go on to talk about the reason that we walk by faith and not by sight is because we want to do things that are pleasing to him, whether absent or present in the body.
Okay.
And then it tells us, why do we want that? Because we're going to all appear one day before him, and we will give an account of how we have chosen to handle our time in living by faith for him. The judgment seat doesn't really have anything to do with condemnation or sins that all got taken care of at the cross.
Right.
But the time you become a born-again believer, you take on a new identity. And that is really brought out in verse 17 of the same chapter, 2 Corinthians 5:17.
It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new."
Now, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
When you knew that you were a new creature in Christ, were there things that you wanted to get rid of, slough off, it no longer held an interest for you? Can you identify some things that you changed?
Mm-hmm.
What would be some of the things? Because you know what, Sharon? For many people, it'll be different things.
Right.
So what were some of the things for you that changed?
Well, embarrassingly enough, gossip was one that I no longer wanted to participate in.
And let's stop right there and say that's a good thing, because Proverbs 6:6 says that when we slander with our tongue, it's an abomination unto God.
Mm-hmm.
And we cannot have fellowship or a walk by faith if you had decided that, well, I'm a new creature in Christ, so now I can say whatever I want to about anybody that I want to, whenever I want to, because I'm forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
See, that would be a lie, but many people choose to still walk in that falsehood of who they are in Christ.
Right, right.
Okay?
Okay.
Did you find you had any new emotions?
I became more sensitive to other people's hurts.
Okay. You know, Sharon, when you became a new creature in Christ, you got a new family name. You now had the privilege of honoring the name of God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. With that, you had a new privilege of responsibility to hold that new name up.
Mm.
But you were still a babe in this new family.
Right.
And you now had a new identity. But until you really learned some of your identity of who you really are, then you would really not be able to establish how to deal with your dealings. In other words, you had to learn who you were as a new being, B-E-I-N-G,
right,
before you could really then deal with how you were going to grow in Christ by your doings.
True.
And we have said we're not human doings. We are human beings.
Right, right.
So we have to learn how to be in Christ before we can do for Christ.
And I think that's one of the most enlightening things that you have ever said to me. Because I always saw my doing as being.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was getting my identity from my doings, all the things I did for the Lord. And time that I spent with Him was all about the doing for Him. Does that make sense? Like, I'm preparing for this, or I'm studying for that, and God has called me to here, and so I need to be prepared for that. And so all of my time with Him was all about my doing for Him and not my being with Him, if that makes sense.
That makes total sense.
Okay.
And knowing you, the one thing that I can validate is that you had a heart change. You got a new family. You got a new family name. You got a new home for eternity. But your heart changed. And so I think where we are talking about people struggling once they are a new creature and having a difficulty on how to walk by faith is because they still are walking by sight, because they still don't really know who they are.
Right.
And you know, you can take that illustration. When a newborn baby is born, it doesn't know that its last name is Smith or Jones. It doesn't really know the rules of the family. It cries when it cries, when it needs to be fed or changed.
Mm-hmm, right. All right.
So it grows into understanding who they are.
Right.
And I think we need to encourage people today that faith will grow. When you first become a new creature, it's a baby faith.
Right.
But usually our faith will have to be increased by the various trials.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says to count that all joyous. And I know we struggle a long time figuring out how James 1 is really the truth when it says count your various different trials as being joyous. But when we sense the unseen, and one way we can sense the unseen is asking Jesus to make Himself real to us as we are quiet and we listen to the Spirit in us. Because the Lord's heart is really set on all of eternity, not just 60, 70, 80 years that we have here.
Which is when we're being in Christ and quiet and listening and being still, we can hear and see things that he gives us insight to.
Well, and we have to recognize where his priorities are. He's preparing us for something much larger. And he really explains that over in 1 Corinthians 15, where he talks about us coming to an end of ourselves, and that we are to realize that we are to be baptized or totally immersed into his likeness. And, you know, I want to keep it simple today, Sharon.
Okay.
But to know Jesus Christ in the unseen realm and God Almighty, we need to have hungry hearts. As long as we are satisfied, mm-hmm. complacent, compromising, and comfortable with our lifestyle now.
Or even opinionated. You know, we spoke last week about just the childlike faith of just trusting God and what he says. You know, he's given us his mind. He's given us his word in the scriptures. This is the mind of God.
Absolutely.
And so when we read the scriptures, to contend with the scriptures is to contend with God himself, because these are his words.
His precept, his mandates.
And so just coming to the scriptures with an attitude of, God, I just want to hear what you have to say, not my own opinion, not my own interpretation, but just what you say, and receive that. And if there's something in my heart that I need to get rid of, some preconceived notion that I have got it all figured out, just wipe it all away and allow me to learn the scriptures from what you have to say.
Well, and the greatest obstacle to faith, and you and I both know this, is fear.
Oh, yes.
And in 1 Corinthians 15, he's talking about his resurrection and how things are changed because of he didn't stay in the grave. He is not like Muhammad or Buddha or anyone else. He mm-hmm. came out of the grave and he was seen by many, many people after he was resurrected. So we know that's a fact. That's not a myth.
Right.
That's not fiction.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31, he has some kind of disturbing words in us being able to see him as the resurrected Christ in his glory. And that is, he says, I die daily. Now, we have to see that from an unseen, eternal perspective, because Sharon, you and I can only die once.
Right.
We've only
right.
got one heart, and when it quits, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
But here he's saying, I die daily. So that means there's got to be a different kind of death to be able to appreciate him in the unseen realm of where we're living today. I die daily.
Now, this is Paul speaking.
This is Paul speaking in reference to seeing Jesus Christ in his resurrected body. And then as he has gone to heaven to prepare us a place to live, Paul was down here with the gospel that God had given him. And he's saying, I see Christ. I see him in the unseen realm. It's real to me. So therefore, I can die daily. Well, what's he dying to if he can die daily? He's dying to his natural way of thinking.
Wow.
And we can do that daily.
Yeah.
And that will help us with our trust and faith if we're saying, Lord, show us who you are today in reality in light of when we see you face to face.
Mm-hmm.
He delights to give that kind of heart specific answers. But beware, because he will show you in the most subtle ways how he's going to show you the unseen. And the enemy will be quickly there to pull you off track with showing you sensationalism, showing you some outward signs that are really not from the throne room or from heaven, and you'll have to learn how to discern
mm-hmm.
what is of him and what is not. Remember in the New Testament, there are outward signs. Some of them was the working of God, and some of them were magicians and falsehoods.
So the main thing is, when we start choosing to say, I want to die daily to myself, to the things that are naturally coming out of me, and allow God to show me the realness of who he is, that we continue to take everything back to him to make sure it is of him. So that we are, because in training, you have to learn what those things look like. You don't just, I mean, right?
Absolutely.
So we're learning what it looks like, what he looks like. And we don't want to be deceived by the enemy to take us off course or off track. So at every opportunity to take that back to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, is this you? Show me in your word where this is real, where this is confirmation for me to know that this is you, before we grab a hold of that, right?
Well, and one of the truest evidences of the sign that you're making progress is the fruit of the Spirit. Because an angry, anxious, bitter spirit full of unbelief will not be having joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering. So that's one way that we can recognize that we really are moving in the right direction, even though we don't understand it all.
Right.
Okay. So let's just go back and recognize that there's a little saying that I really enjoy, and it has impacted my life. And it's sometimes that as we are moving forward in this walk of faith, he doesn't answer the way we think he should.
Yes.
And he doesn't always answer. You know, we're the instant generation.
Mm-hmm.
We have a choice of 1, 2, 3, and we can have it in 3 minutes.
Right.
At any fast food chain. All right. So there's a timing issue that comes involved in this walk of faith, because we've got to have repeated testings, and the Lord is gracious in not bringing all the testings at once.
Right.
Our hearts would fail us from fear.
Absolutely.
So there's a little saying that said, if God doesn't answer you in your time, he will answer you in his time. But in the meantime, redeem the time, for the days are evil.
Oh, that's really good.
And when you redeem the time, then you take account to make that a last. The Lord says in another scripture, occupy till I come. Now, some people can say, I'm doing that. I'm serving 5 days a week, and I'm doing 7 things a day, and at night I'm just exhausted. That's
right.
Not the occupying.
Right.
All right. So
tell me the occupying. Give me an example of that so that we can compare the two.
Well, for me to occupy my time is to wake up every morning and say, Lord, what is of value to you today? I have this great schedule that I have planned for your honor and glory. And the Lord says, I'm glad you planned, now unplanned, because I'm changing it. And are you going to be flexible enough, sensitive enough, as you said, to be available to do whatever I want, so that your day will be filled with my desire? Because Sharon, many times we can have the best intentions to serve him on a day, but the Lord has some lost little lamb out here. And are you going to yield everything for that little lamb?
So we commit ourselves to the schedule instead of committing ourselves to whatever the Lord may ask of us.
That's an excellent. There, you did it again. You capsulized my 3 minutes in three sentences. I love having you as a co-host. But I do want us to just be sure that we have a path that we're comfortable with, on understanding that according to Scripture, we need to recognize that as soon as we are new creatures in Christ, that we have a new identity. And one of the ways that we can check to see that we are practicing that is earlier in the chapter of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. Actually, let's start at verse 14.
Okay.
So as a new creature in Christ, there should be a change in our attitude, as we were talking about earlier.
Right.
And the love of Christ is now been birthed in our hearts. So the Holy Spirit is going to be bringing our attitudes into likeness with His attitude. And love is going to start to be the motivating factor, not service, mm-hmm. not staying busy, not doing our own thing our own way, and then saying it's for His glory. So the love of Christ now compels us. And by the way, the fulfillment of the Old Testament law is summed up in the New Testament, and it's the law of love now. So I am not compelled to have to obey every Old Testament commandment to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what, Sharon? When the love of Christ compels me, I desire to do everything that the Old Testament required of me in having the relationship with God. I'm not under compulsion to have to perform for acceptance. I'm already accepted. And the overflow of that gratitude causes the love to be birthed and start to grow in me.
Okay.
So that's the first thing we want to talk about in getting grounded in our identity for a walk of faith. Then we have to accept what Jesus Christ did in His method of verse 15, and that is that He died for all. So He made it possible for us to love one another, and especially those who are not lovable,
mm-hmm.
believer or unbeliever alike. Okay, Sharon, then in verse 16, it shows us where we still have got our hang-ups and our hiccups. And that is, now that we're new creatures in Christ, we still want to remember one another and even ourselves according to our flesh or our old way.
Mm-hmm.
And we get into stifling a walk of faith because I won't recognize who you are as a new creature in Christ. I'll think, well, oh, okay, Sharon's a really nice person, but...
Okay.
And then I'll remember mm-hmm. your former ways
mm-hmm.
after your flesh,
right.
And that's where I will put your identity.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And so that's why verse 17 says, now, hey, stop it. You're no longer going to know one another after the flesh.
That's verse 16.
Uh-huh. You're no longer going to know if it's Jew or Gentile mm-hmm. or Greek or what have you. No, you're a new creation. You're at a new family.
Right.
You have a new identity, and love is the thing that is going to be motivating you for this walk of faith. Then He does give us a challenge. He says, now that you have all of this, get reconciled to one another, given you this ministry of reconciliation. And this is how we're going to learn to walk by faith. Because you know what, Sharon? Some people want to be reconciled, and some people want to just keep hanging out in verse 16 with the flesh.
Okay.
They don't want to be, they want to be a new creature in Christ, but they don't want to give up their old flesh. And so they won't be reconciled in their service with you, in their association, in the ministry. And that's why, as it showed us in Philippians 4, two ladies that had really worked with Paul all of a sudden were at odds with each other, and they were causing contention in the whole church. They didn't want to be reconciled on an issue that had split them after they had so worked with Paul. So we have to understand that to walk by faith, we must always be seeing ourselves as new creatures in Christ, knowing our identity, letting the Spirit fill us with love, evidenced by the fruit of the Spirit, so we can move forward in living a ministry of reconciliation. And Sharon, that will go on as long as we're on planet Earth.
All right. Well, Janie, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S, www.sharonhartsministry.org.